Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This hour, we have a special treat for you. We are airing selections from our May Get Lit With All Of It virtual book club event. We spent the month of May reading My Dark Vanessa by Kate Elizabeth Russell, and it was great to get a chance to gather together to discuss this complex book. We know a lot of you were reading with us. Thanks to our partnership with the New York Public Library, close to 7,000 of you were able to get a copy of the novel, making My Dark Vanessa the most checked out book at the library for the month of May. The book's plot revolves around the abusive sexual relationship between a teenage girl and her much older teacher. So to help put that book in cultural context, after our conversation with the author, you'll hear my follow-up interview with Dr. Kerestin Conan, a Harvard professor of psychiatric epidemiology, about her research into the impact of childhood sexual trauma on adult development. We'll also have a special performance just for Get Lit With All Of It from someone whose music helped inspire some of the early scenes of My Dark Vanessa. I am talking about Grammy Award winner and Oscar nominee Amy Mann. But first, let's hear my interview with author Kate Elizabeth Russell. Kate spent 18 years working on her debut novel, which tells the story of a 15-year-old girl named Vanessa who gets caught up in a sexually abusive relationship with her high school English teacher, a man in his 40s, Jacob Strain. I want to just mention that before we begin the conversations, throughout this hour, we're going to touch on issues of sexual assault and the sexual abuse of minors. If this isn't the right time for you to hear this segment, you might want to catch this on demand later. And if any time you feel you need support, please call the National Sexual Assault Hotline. That number is 1-800-656-4673. That's 1-800-656-4673. It is open 24 hours a day. I began the event by asking Kate what kept drawing her back to Vanessa's story over the course of 18 years.
To a certain extent, I'm not sure I can explain it beyond like stubbornness. Vanessa, she's a character who came to me sort of fully formed. And I think because of that, I felt so committed to her. I felt like I understood her. And so the idea of stopping writing her was just unthinkable. It might be kind of hard to explain if you're not a writer or not a creative, but there's something really powerful in having a project that you can always go and work on. You always have something to do. You always have something sort of running in the background. And so I think that was also a part of what kept me working on it for so long.
So I'm curious about something that you wrote that 90s feminism, it was very important to you in helping to develop Vanessa's character. What was it about that sort of 90s era feminism that helped you create her?
It was sort of a multifaceted thing. I mean, on the one hand, I found it really helpful and really essential to the novel to bring in pop culture references. I think of Britney Spears as sort of the touchstone pop culture reference that shows up in My Dark Vanessa, because Britney was, was marketed to embody the Lolita trope early on in her career. And that was very vivid in my mind, like remembering my own coming of age. And so bringing pop culture references like that from that era was really helpful because I imagined those references as grounding my ideal reader. Because when I was writing the book, my ideal reader was someone who was around my age, would come of age at the same time, and maybe would remember, the music video for Baby One More Time, for example, and be able to sort of speak to that reader and point out that this Lolita trope, it's bigger than just Vanessa. It's bigger than just Vanessa's story. This was something that was happening on a larger scale. But then as I was working on my PhD, I started learning more about post-feminism. And post-feminism is sort of a term that's used to describe that 90s feminism, the feminism that I grew up in. And that was a really remarkable experience for me, sort of learning about the feminism that I came of age in, but having it described in this academic way that sort of I don't know, gave me vocabulary for things that I knew because I had sort of learned that and absorbed all of these lessons, but I had never taken an objective stance.
What were some of the texts that you read or two or three books that you read that turned out to be invaluable in your research?
Oh, gosh. I would say from a more academic or even like clinical standpoint in terms of trauma, the text Trauma and Recovery by Judith Herman, which was published in the 90s. And that is sort of a foundational text of trauma. And Herman in that text, she sort of defines trauma as, or she opens up the definition of it. So, and she says, this isn't just something that happens to military veterans. PTSD is something that also occurs to people in civilian life, and maybe especially women who are dealing with the threat of sexual violence on a near daily basis. And so when I read Trauma and Recovery for the first time, it was such a relief to me. I was in my mid-20s and I've been working on my dark Vanessa for almost, I would say, about a decade at that point. And once I read that book, I was like, oh my God, here's this like theoretical framework that my creative work fits into so much. And that's really what drove me to go back to school and get a PhD. But then more creatively, I always cite the play Blackbird by David Harrower, which is this one-act play that deals with sexual abuse, the aftermath of sexual abuse on an adult. And it's this incredible play that's just basically a conversation between two people, between a woman in her 20s and a man in his, I think, his 50s. And they had a relationship when she was 12 years old and he was in his 40s. And they sort of come together and try to figure out what happened back then. And when I read that play, it sort of broke my mind open, made me start thinking about the long-term effects of this kind of abuse.
Let's talk about Vanessa, our protagonist. At one point, Strain said to her, "I bet as long as you can remember, you were called mature for your age, weren't you?" Now, he has his reasons for saying this to Vanessa, but she seems to believe this as well. Why does she believe this about herself?
Yeah, to a certain extent, I think it's a sort of flattering thing to believe about yourself, right? That you're mature for your age, that there's something special about you that sets you apart. Vanessa comes to imagine herself as being surrounded by a canyon. Once the relationship with Strain begins, she imagines this canyon surrounding her that sort of separates her from the rest of the world. But I initially envision that as her being put on a pedestal, and then that pedestal slowly sort of the ground around it sort of crumbles away until she's just completely isolated. So that was something that I tried really hard to portray, was the way in which Strain would give her a compliment, right? Something that seems very, very flattering. And so she sort of accepts it and believes that and absorbs that. But then it erodes her sense of self. And I think that's one of the most heartbreaking and most manipulative things that he does is he manages to sort of disguise his manipulations as compliments.
The relationship between Vanessa and Strain starts to turn towards inappropriate when she starts writing this poetry and starts sharing this poetry with him. What did you want her poetry to contain? How did you want her poetry to sound?
That's a really good question. I mean, her poetry, to be totally honest, those poems are my own teenage poems. They're taken almost verbatim in certain parts from my own teenage journals. And that was one benefit, I guess, I had from working on this book for such a long time, is that I did have all of this material that was authentically teenage. Yeah, I wanted them to be read as really delicate, you know, to be read as very, very vulnerable, but at the same time, wanting the reader to see those poems potentially even through Strain's eyes. And this is kind of hard to explain, but certain things Vanessa says, and certainly those poems, I wanted them to be read in a way where the reader could imagine Strain reading those poems, or imagine Strain like hearing Vanessa say these certain things and see what he interprets as openings to get closer to her. And I think that's where a lot of this sort of discomfort on the reader's part probably comes from, is from being able to see it from her perspective, but then also from the predator's perspective, if you will.
Why did Strain know Vanessa was someone he could prey upon?
I'm not sure he totally knew, because the first day of class, right, she says where she's from, and she sort of, she says, I'm Vanessa Y, and I'm not really from anywhere. And so immediately she's sort of diminishing herself, which I guess, you know, that could be a signal to a teacher like Strain that this girl is insecure, this girl has vulnerabilities or what have you. But I think it's not until the scene where he holds a leaf up to her hair, when he asks, he finds her crying, and he asks her what's upsetting her, and she says, oh, this time of year makes me feel crazy, like I'm wasting my life. And that's a moment where he's sort of surprised, I think, by what she says, and or by her response there. And I think he feels in that moment a genuine connection to her, or at least surprised by her. Maybe he thought that she was like crying over a boy or whatnot, but here she is saying this like she's having this existential crisis, right? So I think it's those moments like that where she surprises him that makes him realize, oh, she's like me, or she's someone that I could get closer to. I don't think in his mind that he ever thinks of it as him preying on her. I think it's a lot more convoluted in his mind.
He's manipulative, we know this. But he's not written as a monster, as a straightforward monster. Did you debate about that? Was that always the case?
Over the first few years, maybe even the first 10 years that I was working on the novel, Strain's character was pretty straightforwardly like a conflicted man who wanted to do the right thing. And I think because of that, he was pretty sympathetic, maybe more sympathetic than Vanessa to most readers. And Vanessa was much more the aggressor in those early drafts. That, I think, was influenced a lot by my growing up and seeing films like American Beauty, right? And Kevin Spacey's mm-hmm. character in that movie is very much like that kind of man, that kind of middle-aged character. And then once I started thinking about this story more in terms of trauma, Strain's character got a lot more monstrous, sort of scary, and like more like a one-dimensional villain. And I felt fine with that. Like, I didn't feel obligated to give him depth just for the sake of giving him depth. But I realized by flattening him into a monster, I was really cutting Vanessa short, because if she was so devoted and so tied to this monster, then I knew the reader would end up questioning what was wrong with her. So I really characterized Strain with Vanessa on my mind the whole time. I characterized him in service of her.
I want to read a paragraph that occurs early in the novel, and this is adult Vanessa looking back at her years with Strain. She says, I wanted nothing to do with boys my own age, their dandruff and acne, how cruel they could be, cutting girls up into features, rating our body parts on scales of 1 to 10. I wasn't made for them. I loved Strain's middle-aged caution, his slow courtship. He compared my hair to the color of maple leaves, slipped poetry into my hands, Emily, Edna, Sylvia. He made me see myself as he did, a girl with the power to rise with red hair and eat him like air. He loved me so much that sometimes after I left his classroom, he lowered himself into my chair and rested his head against the seminar table trying to breathe in what was left of me. All of that happened before we even kissed. He was careful with me. He tried so hard to be good. So here's the controversial question I want to ask. Was Strain deluding himself about what he was doing with Vanessa, or
was he falling in love and in love? And can both be true?
I think both can be true. I absolutely think both can be true. And I might even go as far to say that they have to both be true. For him, for what I know about his character, what, you know, all the stuff that I sort of figured out about him that never showed up explicitly on the page. I think that he felt in his own way things that were very real for her. But that was one of the things that I had to reckon with in sort of a larger scale, or the idea that just because something is a love story doesn't mean that there is an abuse there, or there isn't a manipulation or obsession or even violence. And I think I knew this as a teenager, right? Which is why when I read Lolita at 14, I read that as a love story. It wasn't that I was blind to the abuses happening in that novel, but I just thought that can happen in a love story in the same way that I read Wuthering Heights as a love story or Jane Eyre as a love story. And those are novels that are full of obsession and abuses. And so the way that we conceptualize romance, the way that we practice it, often leaves a lot of room for these potentially, you know, violent and dark things. And I tried to infuse a lot of that into Strain's character, I guess.
You know, you write about the sex and the sexual abuse fairly graphically. When did you make that decision that you wanted to be that vivid in your descriptions?
It was always that vivid, to be totally honest. I, you know, from a young age, I really identified with writers like Mary Gateskill, I guess, you know, women who wrote about sex in really explicit ways. And I sort of saw myself writing in that tradition. It never really occurred to me to write it as in any other way, because it felt true to Vanessa's character. It felt true to the type of writer that I saw myself as. And it's something I think important to remember when you're reading the book is, to Vanessa, she sees these experiences as just sex. Like, she doesn't see them as rape. She doesn't see them as abusive at all. It's just sex.
At one point, Vanessa says, "I am not a victim because I never wanted to be. And if I don't want to be, then I'm not." And we asked our Instagram followers, the people who are part of our book club, even as an adult, why does Vanessa think she's not a victim of abuse? And one person said, because it was such an important part of her identity that it was hard to think of it as anything but love. Someone else wrote, because she was so well-groomed by Strain and was so full of guilt and shame. Someone else wrote, she had feelings of desire for him at times, which made her believe it wasn't abuse. What was it that you wanted to interrogate about the identity and victim becoming part of one's identity?
Yeah, it's such a complicated thing. It's such a complicated thing. And I wanted to put the reader in a position where they would have to reckon with this idea of the difference between sex and rape being state of mind, right? And the idea that if you, regardless of what happens to you, if you choose to say, oh no, I was willing, then does that matter? Does it not matter? You know, does it depend on the situation? I wanted the reader to sort of get into a space where they had to think about that. And I didn't want to offer any easy answer to those questions. But thinking of victimhood specifically, I wanted to write Vanessa as a character who sees victimhood as something that she wants nothing to do with, because it seems like such a narrow road. To accept victimhood to Vanessa would mean to give up on the sort of image or the person that Strain made her out to be, which was this remarkable girl who saw the world in this, you know, exquisite way and was so smart and so alluring and was capable and strong. Why would she want to give that up to see herself as a victim and therefore see herself as weak and helpless? And especially when she's 32 accepting victimhood would feel like she would have to, you know, sort of denounce 17 years of her life. And that I think feels to her totally unthinkable.
That was my conversation with author Kate Elizabeth Russell about our Get Lit with All of It book club selection, My Dark Vanessa.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.